As we I hoped one day we'd stop talking about this, we're not quite able to yet. Dr. Willie Foster's here, the head of the ED department over there at Peace Harbor Hospital. And COVID's just not going away, and we're in the middle of another spike here. Dr. Foster, tell us a little bit about what's going on with this.
Yes, we are in the middle of another spike. And as you said, there was some thought that COVID would fade way into the background and just be another virus. And in some regards, it has, but not as much as we would like. COVID continues to be a problem year round versus the flu that we see, you know, just in wintertime. COVID occurs, you know, year round, and we see spikes about twice a year. This is actually the ninth spike or wave that's been identified by the CDC. And we're in a pretty significant, you know, wave right now, certainly bigger than last summer's wave and probably as big as the wave we had this past, you know, winter, like December, January, February was the last wave.
What are we seeing as far as case numbers go?
Case numbers are defined a little bit differently. Like in the early days of COVID, we got reports about how many people were testing positive and how many were hospitalized and how many were dying. And there certainly is numbers out there for hospitalizations and deaths. But the way the CDC is now categorizing it is whether it is, you know, very high, moderate, low, or minimal in terms of, you know, COVID in terms of its, you know, spread and so on. And currently there are like, I think 30 states in the very high and most of the rest are in the high. And Oregon, along with Washington, Idaho, California are all in the very high status of COVID. And that is based, they take three things into figuring out which category a state fits in. How many ED cases are being seen? What percentage of tests that are being done are turning positive? And then the other factor they take into account is wastewater sampling. Because even if you're asymptomatic with COVID but have it, it will be shed in your stool and it can be detected in wastewater. So that's one of the things the CDC uses, is sampling wastewater routinely to see how much of it has COVID in it.
So in a wastewater product, then, if a large swath of the population has it, there will be higher levels of it?
Higher levels, and yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what the CDC uses to say we are in a very high COVID, you know, incident right now based on those three factors, wastewater, ED visits, and how many tests are positive.
But based on the fact that you mentioned before we went on there, testing is no longer free, so probably less people are getting tested. Can we presume that with this spike, there are actually more cases than what the spike shows?
Well, it depends how you define the spike. Yes, if it's just based on the number of visiting EDs, you know, yes, there's going to be a lot more people with COVID out there that just aren't testing, aren't sick enough to go to the emergency department and just figure it's another, you know, cold, which in many cases – COVID has just become another virus out there, you know, causing the same symptoms it always has. You know, there's what we kind of put the symptoms of COVID into three big buckets. There's the respiratory symptoms, cough, sore throat, congestion, runny nose, shortness of breath. That's one of the most common areas of symptoms. Sometimes, and it kind of depends with the variant, there can be GI symptoms, some abdominal cramping, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. And then the third big area symptoms would be what we might call systemic, the fever, the chills, the headache, the muscle aches, the loss of, you know, taste and smell. So really the COVID symptoms can be all over the place and just have a few of those or many of those, you know, symptoms.
What is the current thought on vaccinations and boosters? Has that changed any, or are we still, should people still be considering boosters and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the latest recommendations are, you know, to get the latest, you know, booster. And there's different language. There was a booster. The latest one is actually an update, you know. So, I mean, a slight difference in wording, but basically it's an update. The current shot that's out there is the 23/24 version. It came out in the fall of last year. There wasn't a lot of uptake of that. You know, not nearly as many people got that updated shot or booster compared to, you know, the second or third one. That was actually the fourth fourth variation that had come out, and not many people got that compared to earlier boosters. But it's still recommended that people get that booster. And there's actually a recommendation is that if you're over 65 and it's been 4 months since you got that fourth shot, the 23/24 version, that you get a second dose of it. So I know if you called up, you know, one of the pharmacies right now, one of their pre-recorded messages were, if you're over 65 and have gotten the latest COVID booster, but it's been more than 4 months, the CDC recommendations are to get another one of that to help with this, you know, spike or wave that's going on right now. And it's probably going to be a new booster or update this fall.
While we have sort of looked at COVID as just kind of another virus, you know, that's going out there, it sounds like with the push for the vaccines that it's still quite high on the dangerous level for at least a certain group of people.
Oh, it is. I mean, and just like flu, you know, we've mentioned this, you know, multiple times in our talks here, you know, flu kills tens of thousands of people every year, some years more than other, depending on the strain of the flu. And we strongly recommend, you know, the flu vaccine for everyone, especially those at highest risk, the very young and the elderly. And, you know, kind of the same thing with COVID in terms of the vaccination. Certainly the people that are most likely to get sick and get sick enough to have to be hospitalized and potentially die tend to be those with, you know, comorbidity. So that would be elderly patients with, you know, underlying problems, congestive heart failure, COPD, you know, those kind of things, chronic kidney disease, diabetes. They're the ones that are most likely to be sick enough to be hospitalized. And probably the vast majority of the deaths are in that population.
So what I guess it's one of those things that there's not really going to be a cure for it. It's more of a how do we stave it off as long as possible for somebody. Is there anything, any new thoughts or new scientific evidence out there that says maybe we can put an end to this at some point?
Not that I'm aware of. It's going to be kind of like the flu. It's going to be around. The best way is to be vaccinated. And then there is treatment for it. You know, Paxlovid, a lot of controversy around that. But Paxlovid has been demonstrated to really have benefit for those at the highest risk. If you're a healthy 20-year-old with a mild case of, you know, COVID, Paxlovid is going to do nothing for you. The studies have shown it doesn't make you get better sooner. You know, its benefit has been shown in those at the highest risk in decreasing the likelihood that they will be hospitalized or die. Having said that, you know, Paxlovid was free to everyone up until, you know, a year ago. And now most insurance is all covering it, but it's quite expensive. There could be, you know, co-pays to it. And I just checked with the three pharmacies in town just this weekend and today, and only Safeway is carrying the Paxlovid treatment. The other two pharmacies are not. And regarding Paxlovid, there's actually two different doses, one that you would take if your kidney function is normal, another half dose if you have chronic kidney disease and your kidney function is significantly, you know, low. And for a lot of the people at the highest risk, these elderly population, that would also be the population that might not have the kidney function that we could give the regular dose to. And if that's the case, they would have to, you know, go to Eugene to find a pharmacy that had the half dose Paxlovid.
As we finish up here, what are some other things that we might need to know?
Well, I think the other thing that I would say is, you know, stay up to date on your vaccinations. And if you do have symptoms and can get a test, you can test. It's probably best to test on like the third day of symptoms. If you test on the first day, there might not be enough virus to test positive. And basically the new recommendations about, you know, how long you should quarantine or isolate is you should stay home until symptoms are improving and you've been fever free, you know, without Tylenol or ibuprofen for 24 hours, and you should mask for 5 days, you know, afterwards. So if you did test positive for COVID, yeah, I'm feeling better, haven't had a fever, you know, you can, you know, even on day three, you know, go back to work or whatever, though you probably should wear a mask for 5 days.
All right. Well, that's good information. And unfortunately, we're having to deal with this still, you know, and thanks for keeping us updated.
You're welcome.
Dr. Willie Foster, everybody. We'll start the next hour of Our Town with Rick Chilton from Helping Hands Coalition.